What if Tim Tebow actually could play, and what if he had signed with the Jags? I think they kind of know what that feels like right now. This is Tony Wiggins with your Jacksonville Jaguars report here on Locked On Jaguars. Now, this is not clickbait. What I mean by that is this. What if I could tell you that the Jaguars would have a charismatic quarterback that everyone loves, that plays the game in an unorthodox way, that does incredible interviews, that makes people want to dress up like him and talk about him and give him nicknames, that kind of plays off schedule, but then can come in front of a microphone and confess his faith and have the quality that a leader of men has and is a natural leader who can win in the clutch. That sounds like what people hoped and thought Tim Tebow would be. Instead, what the Jacksonville Jaguars have is they have Nick Foles, who's the latter of what I described, and they have Gardner Minshew, who is the first part of what I described. It's not the same, but doesn't matter how it is, as long as you got it. I really do wonder how those players feel about those quarterbacks and if that stuff resonates with them as well. I know the fan base up to this point has been a little bit divided about who they think should play, and I'm going to credit some people. Some people never thought Nick Foles was as good as what they paid anyway. Some people thought the Jags actually negotiated against themselves. And again, as I've said in the past, a lot of this comes from having that hangover of Blake Bortles and Blaine Gabbert for the last 8 years, where you're just looking for anything that's competent. I also give more credit to the fact that Nick Foles played as well as he did in the Super Bowl and then in the subsequent playoffs the year after with the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, as I said, a guy that's sort of my god nephew played for the Eagles, and he told me the same things about Foles that everyone always says. It says it's just an it factor and there's just something about it. I also don't believe that you can win a Super Bowl in the fashion that he did against the team that he did in New England. And it not me. I don't think you stumble upon those things by accident. Just like I don't believe that you accidentally do what Gardner Minshew's done over an 8-game span. And that is win a lot of games. You know, it's not like basketball. I know at some point I compared that whole Gardner Minshew run to Jeremy Lin. Well, you know, and that's, you know, what happened with Jeremy Lin was it was a lightning in a bottle. It was hot. He had something to prove. He was with the right coach and Mike D'Antonio, who makes everybody look like an MVP. And then Jeremy Lin still had a nice long NBA career after that. So it showed that he belonged. So I don't think I'm that far off when I say that this is a Jeremy Lin type of run. And that's not to cast aspersions on Gardner Minshew, but you know, sometimes you just wonder how the players actually feel. And I wish we could tap into it without all of the coach speak and all of the political correct things that they have to say. And I would really be interested to find out how those guys feel truly about these two players. I can tell you this, when a guy's injured, you know, I've heard so many NFL players, great NFL players tell me when you're injured, it's like you're not even part of the team. And when you're injured, they have to go out there with who's available. And you have to rally around the guy that's available. It's almost like a player who fouls out in another sport, in basketball. If he's not there, he's not there. You got to ride with who you're with. And when teams do that and understand that this is what it is, because if you don't have the attitude, you're going to get beaten. You're going to get defeated. So I don't think the attitude that the team has when they talk about Gardner is phony. And I don't think the attitude that the team has when they talk about Nick Foles is phony either. But who'd have thought it, or thunk it, as some people say in my circles, that you'd have all of the traits of a Tim Tebow without actually having Tim Tebow? And the one thing that we're missing, obviously, is Tim Tebow would have to be able to play at the level that Gardner Minshew or Nick Foles has, and we know he can't do that in the NFL. But this is what it would have felt like. But it just, instead of it being in two different people, it's in one person. A guy that professes his faith and is the ultimate leader that guys really, really believe in. And they look at him wide-eyed like he's almost their dad. And that's really leadership that is commanded and not demanded. And then another guy that just kind of plays off kilter and does things the right way and is off schedule with the way that he plays and all of that stuff. And I just find it really, really interesting that the Jags kind of got Tebow without getting Tebow. And it satisfies a lot of people. It satisfies the people that thought he should have just been here to affect the ticket sales, which I think Gardner Minshew, with his pop culture status, sort of has done a little bit, hopefully, moving forward. And it adds a leadership aspect for the rest of the players to look up for, and he makes everybody else better around him, which is something that I think Nick Foles absolutely does. So what I'm going to do is we'll get off the Tebow angle, but we're going to look forward to this game this weekend between the Jaguars and Colts and talk about how important this game is. The game is extremely important. It is extremely important. Jacksonville they really, really can't afford, in my opinion, to be losing this game, because then they'd have to really, I believe, win six in a row down the stretch, and I think that's incredibly unfair for anybody. All right, so we're going to move forward and talk about how I think Nick Foles will affect this team and what the differences I think it'll be between him and Gardner Minshew. We'll do that. I got to first tell you about my friends over at Peloton. They're offering a limited time offer of get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike, and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use the promo code LOCKED. That's right, LOCKED, to get started. All right, quarterback talk here on Locked On Jaguars. Just a second. Attention, past, present, and future MyBookie players. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free Bet on the Bears Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats. You've got extra holiday money. If you lose, congratulations to you as well, because MyBookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer, because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer, MyBookie welcomes all to come and play. So quit waiting around and sign up today. That's right. You need to sign up with MyBookie, because that's what your man T-Wig does, and all I do is play parlays, and I actually win my money, because MyBookie is where you play, you win, and you get paid. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with the promo code MLB, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll, and that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat, that's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply can't lose. MyBookie.ag, promo code MLB, and start getting paid to call these games the way that you always do. Nick Foles, quarterback, coming back this week after a bye week, 2 weeks to prepare against the Colts. What exactly does that mean for the Jaguars offense? Well, first of all, what it means is, the offensive line is going to have to protect like they haven't been protecting. They are going to have to ensure that they give Nick Foles the proper protection that he needs. Although it's not as if Nick Foles can't move around in the pocket, it's just that he's not as agile and doesn't have the mobility that we've seen from the last 8 weeks with Gardner Minshew. He does, however, he's taller, obviously, so he can see the field probably a little bit better, and he doesn't have to use the angles and find ways to get the ball out. And he probably can diagnose some things very, very quickly, because he's more familiar with John DeFilippo's offense than Gardner was. However, that means in order to get him protected, you have to first establish the run. You got to keep the Colts in the gaps. You have to keep them from teeing off and coming really, really hard at Nick Foles this Sunday. The way to do that is to do what you've been doing all year. You have to establish Leonard Fournette. It doesn't mean that you can't pass on first down. But what I try to do is I pass the ball to Leonard Fournette on first down. I try to use Josh Oliver a little bit in the flat. I would ensure that I'm in second and no less than second and seven or second and six, preferably second and six or second and five, with a short pass out to the flat to kind of get the linebackers going side to side, to make them stay at home, to make them understand. And then you hit them with some runs up the middle, and now the Colts would probably start worrying about tiring out, okay? And then everybody would stay at home and just try to, quote-unquote, do their job. Then I think you have more success with your offensive line with five people blocking four. That's when I think you'll see the difference in what Nick Foles will bring to this offense, because that's when I think you'll see the ball go down the field. Someone said he stepped out of practice the other day, and within 5 minutes of warming up, zipped a 55-yard pass all the way down the field, and the wide receiver ran up underneath it. You didn't see much of that when Nick Foles was gone with Gardner. That's really, Gardner's more of a back shoulder guy, or if he does throw it deep, it's because the guy's wide open because of the way the route went. He's not a throw a guy open type dude. And when he did throw a guy open, it was on a crossing route where he scrambled out and did those type of things. So I think for me, I'm looking forward to the whole field being attacked, especially the deep middle and those nine routes on the sidelines, those fly patterns. I'm looking to see if the Jaguars can do that, because what that does is that actually makes it even better for the running game and better for Leonard Fournette and better for the things that can happen with D.D. Westbrook and those guys on the short middle, because teams really, really have to play the entire field. So when the folks wondered why the Jaguars struggle in the red zone, because you have to think about this. Remember, when you get to the red zone, you're getting to an area where you have a 12th defender, and that 12th defender is the boundary where you're running out of room. And it created less opportunities on broken plays for guys to get open. How many times did you see in the Gardner Minshew, whenever he would get out of the pocket and he started improvising and guys started running every which way and everywhere else, that he was able to take the ball and lob it over somebody's head and there'd be a guy running down the sideline? I mean, you saw that with Chris Conley. You saw it in a few other games. I think you saw it in Carolina. Because that back line is so far away, you still have more room behind these guys to defend on those broken plays. Now, I know it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but I'm not. Because when I say Nick Foles will test those boundaries, it's without the play being broken. With Gardner, the play would be broken. Guys would break off their routes, and you'd see defensive backs with their eyes in the backfield, and then the guy would peel off, and it would be a total improvisational play, and the ball would go downfield. I think you're going to see that tested early and often. And those safeties are going to have to back up a little bit. Those linebackers are going to have to back up a little bit. You'll probably even see the more bail techniques from the corners, because now I believe you're going to actually see the deep speed of the Jaguars receiving corps. And I don't know if you saw that, except for catching runs when Gardner Minshew was the quarterback. But as I said earlier, man, I'd love to be a fly on the wall to find out what some of these receivers and even the offensive linemen, even the defensive players, what they think. You heard Calais Campbell say that he felt that if Nick Foles was healthy, he'd be an MVP candidate. He didn't say the other guy was bad, but he also wasn't saying that the other guy was an MVP candidate either. You know, so it's just the difference of how these guys are going to be looking at these players, how they're going to look at the team. And to me, that's an awful lot of fun, man. I really would love to be a fly on the wall to find out exactly what these guys are thinking and how these guys feel about the difference in these two quarterbacks at this point. And it doesn't mean that it has to be a negative, and I want to make that crystal clear, because that's not where I'm going when I'm talking about it this way. It's just that, you know, it's more than next guy up. What it means is it's not binary to think that you could like both players. It's just that sometimes you get a true identity or a true feeling for how someone feels when they don't feel like they're trying to protect anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to hurt Gardner's feelings, but yet and still, I want to be honest about Nick. And then even DJ Chark, DJ Chark was asked in the locker room, does he think Nick will take time, or does it feel like, does he think that he'd be rusty? Chark said, no, it doesn't seem like it to me, you know. And that's the part of this that I try to tell people about. Those guys knew from training camp. They have a feeling about him that fans don't, except for the couple of drives that he had when he scored a touchdown against Kansas City. They have more of a feel because they're in practice every day. And not only right now, they were in practice throughout training camp. And I'm telling you, all we heard was how great this dude was. And then Gardner had his nice run, and then all of a sudden Nick comes back. So you can't tell me that there isn't a difference, like if the ball gets there quicker, if You can do they have to make adjustments where they're not doing back shoulder stuff or stopping or waiting on the ball to get there and having to brace for a hit? Is the ball out quicker? Do they have to keep running? Does he throw them open? These are things that, quite honestly, man, you know, I'd love to be a fly on the wall to really get a feeling and understand how these guys feel. But I guess we'll see Sunday. We will see Sunday. It's hard to do judge this stuff by body language, but when you see images of practice and this guy is in the huddle, you see like 10 guys looking at him like he is a god or something. And that guy I'm talking about is Nick Foles. So regardless of your personal emotional attachment to a player, what you think is the right or wrong thing to do, there's no denying that what you see on the field will determine how guys feel, how they respond to it. All right, I'll give you my guess as to what I think the Jaguars defense has to do this weekend in order to be successful, because they're going to have to play lights out as well. And I'll do that right after I tell you about MyBookie again. You use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at MyBookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. The NBA has already started. You're already chalked into the NFL year. So you got to go in there and use the promo code, okay? You use NFL promo code that's on the schedule, which is Major League Baseball, and MyBookie will match 50% of your first deposit. That's right. They will, man. Go to MyBookie, play NBA, play NFL, do all that stuff, win you some money. I'll be right back in just a moment. So defensively, I believe what Jacksonville has to do is whoever's going to play, I'm going to think that the Colts are going to play Jacoby Brissett, because I think the Colts probably regret not playing Jacoby Brissett last week, but they thought they could rest him up and get an easy win against the Dolphins with Hoyer as their quarterback, and it was an absolute disaster. Just nothing went right for them last week. And if they play that way this week, they'll get blown out by Jacksonville, because their offensive line didn't play well, and the Miami Dolphins defensive line was just teeing off on Hoyer. So maybe Jacoby Brissett comes back and the Colts get some other people back, and it'll be a little bit of a better game for them. But if I'm Jacksonville, I act like it's Peyton Manning. I act like it's Andrew Luck. I don't worry about whether Brissett's healthy or not, or Hoyer. I act like it's Johnny Unitas wearing a coach uniform this week. And if I'm that defensive line, I'm chomping at the bit. Now, Marlon Mack and that crew, of course, they have probably the best, maybe even the best offensive lineman in football at left guard, or at least the best guard in football. The kid decided Notre Dame. His name escapes me. But I really do believe that the Colts are going to try to establish the run. They're going to see the film and see the tape from the Houston game, and they're going to think that they can get some chunk yards on first and second down and try to control this ball. I also expect them to take some shots. They got fast receivers. I don't know if T.Y. Hilton will be back or not. And I think Paris Campbell also got banged up. But they have some other players on that team, man, that could really, really fly. And we'll see if they try to test Jacksonville down the field. Jacksonville's going to have to do a good job on their tight ends, because Eric Ebron ate the Jaguars' lunch last year in the one game in Indianapolis. And they also employed Jack Doyle. They used a two tight end set. And we've seen, not so much as the safeties, but we've seen the linebackers historically struggle against tight ends. And that's how you keep drives moving if you play Jacksonville. First, second down, get the third and short, roll out, throw the ball to the tight end. Deshaun Watson made an absolute living doing that in the last game the Jaguars played over in London. So I think the Jags have to be really, really careful to not fall into that rut and allow the coach to nickel and dime their way down the field, eat up the clock, and then get points. You can't fall into that rut, because even though I'm excited about the prospect of Nick Foles coming back and playing against the Colts defense, the one thing that is a little bit scary for me is that he hasn't played for 2 months. Darius Leonard is a tackling machine, so I do everything I could to stay away from him. But I think if the Jaguars can get 24, 23 might be the number, but I'd be safer at 24. I think the defense will do enough to hold off the Indianapolis Colts. The pass rush, I think the pass rush has to be there. But more importantly, I think the run fits and the linebackers understanding their assignments, and also the linebackers getting out and covering the short flat area. I think those safeties, I think Jared Wilson and Ronnie Harrison will take care of everything that they're supposed to take care of. I think DJ Hayden is back and will be in the fold, so he'll be able to handle things in the slot. And I do believe A.J. Bouye and those guys are up to the task in the back end. But a lot of pressure on Jacksonville this weekend. I think the defense will step up just the same way that they did when the Colts came here last week to play here, and they shut them out. And I anticipate the Jaguars getting a win and getting the 500 and putting themselves in a position to try to make a run late in the season for at least a wild card. All right, that's Thursday edition of Locked On Jaguars. Check it out on all platforms. Please click and subscribe and download your daily podcast from me, Tony Wiggins, here with Locked On Jaguars.